The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Radical Russ Belvin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. It is Monday, March 8th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, information, interviews, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. And joining us in our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, my good friend, half-sister, and the 1992 Academy Award winner for Best Actress in a Supporting Role for her portrayal of Mona Lisa Vito in My Cousin Vinny, Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, Russ. You sound like you're feeling better.
I'm feeling a little better. Still got the lingering effects of whatever it is my wife gave to me, but feeling a little bit better. And great job in My Cousin Vinny, by the way. You were fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Carrie brings us our news from CannabisFantastic.com every day. What are we looking forward to in the headlines today?
Well, today we're going to deconstruct the media coverage of the Pentagon shooting that happened last week. We're going to California, where a few people had a kind of an adverse reaction to some edibles, and we're going to continue our ongoing story on the violence south of the border.
Oh, yeah, that's just some terrible stuff there happening down in Mexico. We'll cover that right after our first break. Thanks, Carrie. Also coming up on today's show, we've got a brand new music editor joining us here at the Normal Show Live, Eric Greenbud, who will normally bring us songs for Rockin' Friday, but he found a blues song for today. So with Carrie's permission, he's taken over the Roots Monday slot today. This is a song for Jackie Rickert and the Medical Marijuana Act out there in Wisconsin called Legal Medicine Blues. We'll get to that after the 20 after the hour break. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Paul Armentano, Normal's deputy director, will be joining us for our Behind the Headlines segment. He's got a new report on the real world effects of cannabis legalization all across the world in different countries and different states and cities that have decriminalized or legalized, and what has been the impact of that change. Also, at 45 after the hour, we'll be talking to Gene Ota from the Drug Policy Forum of Hawaii. There are three great bills, one for decrim, one for dispensaries, and one to increase medical marijuana limits, all that have gotten out of the Hawaii Senate and are on their way to the Hawaii legislature. So we'll talk to Gene about that at the bottom of the hour. A couple of other announcements before we get on too much farther. I want to encourage everyone to check out change.org and vote for the legalization questions. Here's a really easy way you can get there. miniurl.org/legalization. That's miniurl.org, M-I-N-I-U-R-L, miniurl.org/legalization. Let's push that question up to the top of the charts once again. Also, want to let you know that there's a new application out on iTunes for the iPhone, the Normal News app. We finally have an app for Normal. A few people have been stealing our information off our website and putting it into their apps. Go to iTunes and get the official Normal app, because you know when you spend the 99 cents on that, it's going to help legalization. We've also got some shout outs and more coming up on today's Normal Show Live. So stick around. We got more stuff coming up for you. Follow us on Twitter. You can go to our Twitter account at Radical Russ, twitter.com/Radical Russ. You can also check out our blog, The Stash Blog, where we put all the videos, news, and information we don't have time to get to here on the show. Check that out at stash.normal.org. I'm Radical Russ. We're right back with Cannabis Carry in the News after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
The shooter that opened fire at the Pentagon on Thursday and was killed by Homeland Security agents in an exchange of bullets is being painted by some media outlets as a crazed marijuana enthusiast. John Bedell, a paranoid, mentally ill man, had extreme views about the government and posted those feelings on the Internet. He vigorously objected to the wars in the Middle East, and as every news story points out, Bedell was a marijuana consumer. His family had tried to intervene and find help for their brother and son, but no one suspected that Mr. Bedell would be motivated to drive across the country in what can only be described as a suicide mission. Media outlets from ABC News to CNN describe Mr. Bedell's cannabis use as marijuana addiction and cite frequently using marijuana in his description. Bedell was arrested in 2006 for growing marijuana in California and posted arguments that the U.S. government was behind the 9/11 attacks. His family describes him as a bright young man who got lost in mental illness. Two officers were wounded in the attack and are expected to recover. Russ?
Yeah, this kind of reporting always upsets me because, you know, there's telling the story, you know, the facts of the news story. And then there's framing the story. And I believe that outlets like ABC and CNN are framing this story as, you know, cannabis gone amok, right? And smoking pot will make you psycho kind of a story. I wrote about this on the Stash blog about ABC News and their reporting. Their first two paragraphs of their story. The first paragraph says the man who opened fire at the Pentagon was an angry lone wolf, blah, blah, blah. But the second paragraph, right in the second paragraph, Bedell, according to family and friends, was mentally ill and a marijuana user, but he also had extreme views about the government, and he hid those feelings in audio postings throughout the Internet. Mentally ill and a marijuana user, as if his marijuana use is relevant at all to his psychotic rampage. We know from the studies that marijuana use does not lead to an increase of psychosis or schizophrenia. We can look at all of the rates of schizophrenia and psychosis all throughout, you know, the United Kingdom and the United States, even as cannabis use has gone up and supposedly the cannabis has gotten more potent, too. The rates of schizophrenia and psychosis remain the same. You'd think if there was some sort of causal relationship there that the rates would rise and fall with cannabis use, but they do not. Now, in the ABC News story, they continue on and talk about how he's a marijuana addict, right? The paragraph from the ABC News story says, the gunman who charged into the Pentagon Thursday and opened fire was intelligent but troubled and had struggled with a long-time marijuana addiction. Well, first of all, American Psychological Association, American Medical Association, do not even recognize so-called marijuana addiction as a true mental illness. They do recognize a marijuana dependence syndrome and possible marijuana withdrawals, which are characterized as infrequent, mild, and short-lived. and it's an insult to anyone who's ever had to recover from a real drug addiction. Furthermore, they go on here to portray this as the family saying that he had a longtime marijuana addiction. When we go to the actual statement from the family, they don't mention a thing about that. They ask for privacy. They say that he had a terrible mental illness. But the ABC News story and CNN don't even touch what comes out of some of the right-wing blogs. There's a right-wing blog out there called Right Side News and a piece that has been penned by Cliff Kincaid. Now, Cliff Kincaid is a longtime prohibitionist, reefer mad writer. We've covered him many times on the Stash before. But Cliff Kincaid has written, God, what looks like 2,000 to 3,000 words worth of marijuana and madness and trying to make the connection here. In his paragraph, he says, let's get to this. Rather than try and make the silly ideological points by accusing Bedell of being either left or right, there is an urgent need for the blogosphere and the major media to address the question of how he became criminally psychotic and a patsy for conspiracy theories. The answer is marijuana, which alters the ability of the mind to comprehend reality, but which is depicted by most of the media as safe and harmless. And Cliff Kincaid goes on further in the document here to cite writings by Normal's own Paul Armentano up on Alternet, and even purposefully misquoted Armentano to try to change the tenor of what Armentano was saying about marijuana and psychosis. This is a lone wolf, a nut job who believed in the crazy conspiracy theories and had an anti-government bent. The fact that he smoked marijuana is no more relevant than if he had used alcohol before or if he had used tobacco before. This is a red herring. They're trying to lead this onto being a problem with marijuana use rather than being a problem with the extremist right-wing talk radio that encourages people to rise up against their government and take arms.
On Friday, several people who ate medicated brownies became ill, and some were sent to the hospital in California. 5 medical marijuana patients were eating in a restaurant in Huntington Beach after consuming brownies purchased from a dispensary when they had the health issues. The complaints ranged from difficulty in breathing to hallucinations, according to the police. There's no more information if more than just the group from the restaurant were the only patients affected. Patients and recreational users alike are reminded that edibles will affect you differently than smoked or vaporized cannabis. The main difference is that it takes a while to feel the effects of the cannabis, so always eat in small amounts until you are confident of the effects of the cannabis. All those affected were treated and released. The police that were called to the scene issued no citations because all those affected had medical marijuana cards. Now, in a somewhat related story, a woman in Colorado has filed a complaint about bad marijuana from her caregiver that she is alleging is causing her a severe rash. The police in that case said that tainted medicine is handled by the FDA, not the sheriff's office. But since the FDA doesn't recognize cannabis as medicine, patients are left with a self-imposed buyer beware policy until lawmakers define this somewhat gray area. Russ?
Yeah, it's troublesome, the whole issue of edibles. Again, like the warning mentioned, eating edible cannabis products is entirely different than smoking it. Smoking it, you get an immediate reaction, or vaporizing, you get an immediate reaction, so you know when you've had enough. But in the case of edibles, when you eat them, you don't know for like 45 minutes how much you've had. And if someone's really good at making the can of butter, you can't even taste the marijuana that's in it. So you'll eat it like a regular brownie. You'll think, oh, this is a great brownie. And maybe eat two, maybe eat three. And before you know it, that 45 minutes kicks in and you realize you should have stopped 2 brownies ago. Now, why I always have to kind of shake my head at these stories is while it is possible to get a reaction like this from having too much edibles, let's note, first of all, they didn't die, and nothing really serious happened to these people, right? They're okay, they're going to be fine. Man, I might have had a little bit of a bad trip, but they're going to be just fine. But the other reason I laugh about this is because the prohibitionists are always so quick to demean smoked or vaporized cannabis and instead encourage people to take Marinol pills. Well, the Marinol pills are 100% THC as compared to the edibles, which might have been 15%, maybe 10%, something like that. And they want people to eat these Marinol pills, and the Marinol pills have the same problem as the edibles. When you eat them, you don't know how long it's going to take, right? It takes 45 minutes before your body digests it. You swallow that one pill, you don't know if it's enough. Maybe you swallow another pill, 45 minutes later, you find out it's too much. So for some reason, the extreme dosage, the 100% THC in a Marinol pill, is a Schedule III drug, perfectly legal for any doctor in the United States to prescribe. But people who got a hold of some cannabis brownies and might have had a bad trip, that's something we're supposed to be worried about.
And with the drug war getting more and more violent south of the border, Red Cross clinics in parts of Mexico are now refusing to treat gunshot victims after a Red Cross worker was killed last week when a drug gang hitman intercepted an ambulance. Miguel Valdez, director of operations for the Red Cross in the city of Tampico, said he implemented the policy after his ambulance driver was forced over at gunpoint only two blocks from a Red Cross clinic. The gunman dragged the wounded man out of the ambulance. Because of this, Red Cross is not accepting patients from prisons or wounded in armed clashes due to the safety risk of the Red Cross personnel. In another incident in Sinaloa, Mexico, police started escorting ambulances and guarding Red Cross clinics after a Red Cross dispatcher was killed Sunday in crossfire by assailants who followed a wounded man to the clinic to finish killing him. Hundreds of emergency personnel, medical technicians, and ambulance crews took to the streets last week in the Sinaloa capital of Calaca, and some holding a banner that read, "Service suspended, we demand safety." As ambulances accompanying the march blasted their sirens to get everyone's attention. In the violent city of Juarez, across the border from El Paso, Texas, doctors and other personnel at two government-run clinics stayed off the job last Tuesday to protest gunmen barging into emergency rooms to either rescue wounded comrades or execute rivals. A medical civic group that was formed in the wake of the violence is reporting that gangs have also targeted doctors for extortion. Seems like a difficult situation keeps on getting more difficult for our southern neighbors.
Yeah, this is insane. People don't realize, you know, I think they know that there's a Mexican drug war going on, but, you know, it's down there, you know, and it's Mexicans. So, you know, we don't pay that much attention, right? But imagine that. Imagine armed thugs in SUVs with their AK-47s chasing down ambulances and pulling out the injured person in the ambulance to execute him on the spot. Imagine being in a hospital, sitting in a waiting room, let's say, and you see 19 armed thugs come into the emergency room with their weapons brandished, making their way to the emergency room to either pull one of their comrades off an operating table to rescue him so that the cops can't get him, or to execute on the operating table the guy who's laying there who happens to be one of their enemies. This is how far it's gone. We've got 18,000 murders, 18,000 dead Mexicans over the past 3 years, all financed by these drug gangs that are making money, 70% of their profits, off of Mexican brickweed that they're selling to Americans. And I'm not going to get into the brickweed discussion again. Blaming people for buying brickweed for the Mexican drug lords being terrorist jerks is like blaming people that buy cheeseburgers for the global warming. I mean, there is a case to be made for that, but do we really blame everyone that eats a cheeseburger? Right? It's the same kind of moral equivalency. It's not the fault of the people that are buying the brickweed. It's the fault of the prohibition that forces them to have to buy the brickweed. Here in America, we're more than happy to grow our own marijuana that's far better than anything the Mexicans can come up with. But because of our stupid prohibition, we cannot do it. And these gangs continue to get rich off of prohibition profits. For a look at just how rich these gangs have gotten, check out my blog at stash.normal.org. I've got some posts up there with pictures of seizures that they made at one of the recent busts of one of the Mexican drug barons from his palatial estate, where he has an entire menagerie of like white tigers and black panthers and all sorts of rare and endangered animals. And the most amazing thing, even more amazing than the 1,600 square foot display of stacks of currency, even more amazing than that, gold-plated automatic weapons. You've got to see these pictures, folks. AK-47s and their magazines, completely gold-plated. Gold-plated pistols. Gold-plated M16s. This is what the Mexican drug war is building south of our border. It's turning Mexico into a failed narco state. And we wouldn't put up with this anywhere. If it were in the Middle East, we'd be sending troops over there to put this out. But since it's in Mexico, we seem to be turning a blind eye to it, don't we? Something to think about. Check out the blog, stash.normal.org. All right. Well, that time means it's time for a break. We'll be right back with your Daily Toker Tunes Roots Monday featuring Eric Greenbud. Stick around.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sail to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
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 Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
What a gift. Flame on, flame on if you can. You're looking for the dope weed. Fire it up.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our pod-safe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by PlanetFantastic.com and Bella Blue Tie-Dye Fashions. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, everybody, we were hoping to get Eric Greenbud on the line. He's got actually knows the musician who wrote this next song, but we're having some trouble getting them on the line, so I'll just go ahead and tell you all about it. The man's name is Rick Harris, and this song comes to us from Wisconsin, where activists right now are working hard to pass the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act. Now, last year I was able to go up to Madison, Wisconsin in October for the Great Midwest Harvest Fest, and I got to meet Jackie Rickert. And, oh, it looks like we've got Eric on the line. Let's see if we can go to Eric. Eric, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, Eric, go ahead. You go ahead and tell the story about this song since you found it for us.
Well, actually, I was going to get Rick Harris on the line to tell us about it, but I guess we didn't get him on the Skype, so I'll have to do it myself.
Oh, you go right ahead.
Today's tune is Legal Medicine Blues. It was written in honor of the namesake of the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act. It was composed by Rick Harris back in 2001 and quickly became the anthem for Wisconsin medical marijuana supporters. Today, I was going to have Rick Harris on the show and introduce this to you, but you can see his write-up on the Stash.
All right, that'll be great. Thanks so much, Eric, and we'll talk to you again on Friday for the Rockin' Friday tune. This is the Legal Medicine Blues by Rick Harris, all about the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act in Wisconsin. Enjoy.
Take everything that they give me. I take all the potions and pills. Maybe they work and maybe they don't. Sometimes I get to feeling ill, but I got my own prescription that gets me through the day with a nod. My doctor's name is Mercy. My pharmacist's name is God. I got the when you're gonna meet the medicine to take, Legal Medicine Blues. I thought this was America. Why aren't I free to choose? Now don't you quote the law to me. If you do, you're gonna lose. Got the when you're gonna make the medicine to take, Legal Medicine Blues. It grows in the fields and on the farm. It grows in the valley wide. It grows great on the fire escape. It grows on the mountainside. Flowers and leaves up to the eaves. Sometimes it helps me see. If nature made it so easy to find, why can't you let me be? I got the when you're gonna make the medicine I'll take, Legal Medicine Blues. I thought this was America. Why aren't I free to choose? Don't you quote the law to me. If you do, you're gonna lose. I got the when you're gonna make the medicine to take, Legal Medicine Blues. I really do need a friend. I never wanted to break the law, but I hurt too bad to pretend. Please listen, you lawmakers. I'm reaching out my hand. You gotta realize, you gotta legalize. Everybody say amen. I got the when you're gonna make the medicine I take, Legal Medicine Blues. I thought this was America. Why aren't I free to choose? Now don't you quote the law to me. If you do, you're gonna lose. I got the when you're gonna make the medicine I take, Legal Medicine Blues. When you're gonna make the medicine I take, Legal Medicine Blues. I got the when you're gonna make the medicine I take, Legal Medicine Blues.
Rick Harris with the Legal Medicine Blues. If you want to help the folks in Wisconsin get medical marijuana, check out Is My Medicine Legal Yet? That's immly.org.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, checking out the Normal Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Speaking of Wisconsin, Madison Normal is having their meeting tonight, Monday, March 8th. They meet on the second and fourth Monday of each month. Their location is at the Wilmar Center, 953 Jennifer Street. The meeting is at 7 p.m. local time. In Michigan, the Southwest Michigan Compassion Club will be meeting in Buchanan, Michigan. For more information, check out minormal.org. On Tuesday, March 9th, Edward Shim is going on trial in San Diego, California. We'd like all supporters to get out there and help pack the courtroom for that hearing. Southfield Compassion Club is meeting on March March 9th as well. Check out southfieldcompassion.blogspot.com. That's in Southfield, Michigan. Wednesday, March 10th, there is a general meeting for the Cal State University Fresno Normal Chapter, and Tony Ryan from LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, will be speaking at Arizona State University. For more information on the normal calendar of events, check out normal.org/calendar. To get your events on the calendar, contact your local normal chapter.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
For almost 40 years, Normal has been the place to go for the latest studies and news on marijuana science, policy, and activism. For over a decade, one man at Normal has written and reviewed more studies and news stories regarding marijuana than almost anyone on the planet. First as senior policy analyst and now as deputy director, Normal's Paul Armentano has written for major newspapers, academic journals, and magazines on the subject of cannabis, and is frequently requested as an expert witness in the courtroom. His knowledge and experience are an amazing asset to the cannabis community. Available to you now in a segment we call Behind the Headlines with Paul Armentano.
We welcome Paul Armentano from his home in the Bay Area of California. Paul, welcome back to the show. Hello, Paul. Do we have you on the line? Okay. Having some problems getting Paul on the line here. Maybe I've got the wrong connection. Okay. Carrie's still working on that connection, so we will get back to that in just a moment. Paul is on today to discuss a... is going to be on today, we hope, to discuss a new report that he has got up at normal.org. A lot of us have followed Paul's work forever and ever. If you've been in marijuana law reform, you've read something from Paul Armentano. He has got the emerging clinical applications for cannabis and cannabinoids that he has put together. And that is just this amazing pamphlet that you can get that covers all of the clinical research that we found on marijuana and marijuana use over the past, you know, 10, 15 years. This is the perfect pamphlet to get if you're trying to convince someone who's, you know, on the fence about medical marijuana, because this gives them, you know, the scientific information they need to know to make a real informed decision about that medicine. Well, his new report that is out, and we've got a banner for this up at normal.org, is on the real world ramifications of pot legalization and decriminalization in on the planet, you know, everywhere. And what this is designed to do is to allay the fears of people that they have regarding marijuana legalization or decriminalization. Now, of course, the prohibitionists will always come up with all sorts of, you know, rhetoric when they want to, when we want to talk about decrim. They'll say that if we decriminalize, we're sending the wrong message to the children. You know, oh, what about the children? We're sending the wrong message. They'll think pot is okay. And yet, Paul's research here in this book has shown that in the states that have decriminalized marijuana since the 1970s, there's 13 of them now, we have seen no difference in the rates of marijuana use among either adults or teenagers as compared to states that do not decriminalize. Now, it is true that the states that have decriminalized tend to have higher rates of marijuana use, But that's not a causal event. That's a correlation. That's just showing that where there are a lot of people that use cannabis, they tend to vote for it to be legal or decriminalized. That's all that says. But Paul goes beyond just the just looking at the United States and also looks at what has happened around the world. A very important development has been in Portugal. In the country of Portugal, they have decriminalized the personal use and possession of all drugs, not just cannabis, but all drugs. And they have found that not only have they not had any rise in drug addiction or drug-related problems, but they've actually had declines in a lot of the drug-related problems. So we find the evidence from these countries all over that shows that people have nothing to fear from legalization or decriminalization. It's an important argument that we have to make to people because it's been so long since cannabis has been legal that there are few people alive that know about it, right? There are few people alive that can imagine legal cannabis. You know, maybe a few older folks can remember the Hemp for Victory program during World War II, and that, you know, lasted through, it was in the early 1940s. So, you know, you'd have to be 80, 90 years old to try to remember these things. All right, let's go back to the phones here. I believe Carrie's got Paul on the line. Paul Armentano from the Bay Area, can you hear me now? Hello, Paul? Oh, we're still having troubles getting Paul on the line here. This is live radio, and this is the way it goes sometimes, folks. So I will just continue to tell you a little bit more.
Paul, you can hear me, though, right?
I can hear you.
Oh, there's Paul. We can now hear Paul. We got him on the line. Thanks, Carrie, for all that hard work. Hey, Paul, welcome back to the show. Paul? Oh, we've lost him again. Carrie, I think you need to keep...
Russ, I think Paul can hear me, but he can't hear you for some reason.
Okay, well, Carrie, why don't you take care of the interview? Talking about winging it. Let's go, baby.
Well, okay, I didn't hear what you were starting on, but what? Paul, welcome to Normal Show Live. What do you have to say about this?
Well, I believe Russ has been talking about my new report.
Yes.
I have not been able to hear what he has said. I don't have the program on.
Well, me neither.
Carrie?
Russ, I can hear you. Can I ask a question to Paul?
Yeah, I was just hoping that you could get him to tell folks about the new pamphlet that he's got out. This
Hello?
This real world decriminalization pamphlet. Okay, well, I'm going to make a command decision here, and we're going to cut off that line. Carrie, if you can hear me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hang up our entire Skype conversation and redial you. So we'll get that back to that. In the meantime, we're going to take a short break to try to clear up some of our technical difficulties here. Please stand by. It's Normal Show Live.
I think it's time for a debate.
Normal Show Live.
And I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana and other drugs.
Marijuana Nation.
I saw him hanging there afterwards, a celebration party after the Mr. Olympus smoking a joint. Did he really smoke a joint? And did he, in fact, inhale? Saying I'm in need of a change. I'm in need of a
change. See, I used to get high. John said that you and him used to smoke weed together.
He was right.
He was right?
We always had a good time. We know how to enjoy ourselves.
Nothing to lose. Now I can't get high. Can't get high.
Come on, Cohagan. You got what you want. Give this people air.
Days come to pass and the nights tend to last much longer than they should.
I'll be back.
Yeah, I used to get high. The end of the day, I used to get high. That time's ticking away and I used to get high. Nothing to lose, now I can't get high. Can't get high. And you see I...
All right, we're going to try it again here at Normal Show Live, working through the technical difficulties to try to get Paul Armentano back on the line. All right, let's unmute the microphone. Hopefully Paul can hear us now. Paul Armentano, can you hear us?
I can hear you, Russ.
Oh, it's a miracle. We have overcome the technical difficulties. Hooray, 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 hooray. That's our live feed from the chat room. They're all cheering for you, Paul. We just wanted to ask you about this new report that you've got up on normal.org. People can get a hold of that now, and I don't know if I've got the title exactly right, but it's The Real World Ramifications of Pot Legalization. Can you explain what that entails?
Sure. As I lay out in the introduction to this report, you know, we've now got lawmakers in five states who have introduced legislation this year to, you know, propose legalizing, controlling, regulating, taxing the adult use production, distribution of marijuana. And when you have bills like this introduced, you know, inevitably the opposition says, well, we can't liberalize marijuana policies. We can't legalize marijuana because if we do that, we're going to have this explosion in marijuana use among the general public. And young people, they're just not going to know what to think. They're going to think that marijuana is as healthy as carrots and asparagus if we pass a law like this. Now, the reason I put together this report is because unbeknownst to a lot of people, we now have decades of real-world experience with regions of the world and even parts of, you know, states in our own country that have liberalized marijuana laws, that have removed the threat of arrest for marijuana possession, that in some cases have gone much further and enacted regulatory schemes allowing for commercial production, commercial distribution of marijuana. And we know what happens, which essentially is nothing. Life continues to go on. Marijuana use rates pretty much stay the same. And in most of these places that aren't in the U.S., marijuana use rates are, in fact, much lower than they are in the United States. But even when we look at the United States itself, we have 13 states now, most of them going on 20, 25 years, that have a real-world experience with decriminalization. And we can see what impact, if any, decriminalization has on use rates and attitudes toward marijuana. And once again, we see consistently the answer is literally next to nothing. You know, I like to say in debates with opponents of prohibitionists, if liberalizing marijuana use literally led to a spike in marijuana use, everyone, whether it's people who work on this issue or don't work on this issue, should be able off the top of their heads to tell me what three or four or five states have the most liberal marijuana laws. It should be obvious because those states should all have the highest levels of use, increased traffic accidents, emergency room visits, all these terrible things that opponents say would happen if we were to liberalize marijuana policies. And the reality is even people that work on this issue, by and large, cannot name which states, by statute, have the most liberal marijuana policies. For instance, nobody ever talks about Nebraska,
yeah,
which, according to the federal government, has one of the lowest levels of marijuana use, yet, statutorily, has one of the most liberal marijuana laws on the books.
Yeah, and not to mention Ohio, where they've decriminalized up to 100 grams, you know, 3.5 ounces. It's and yet we don't hear Ohio being any worse or better for marijuana than any other state.
No, exactly. And that's the point that I'm trying to make with this paper. We have this real-world experience. We have states like Ohio that have had this policy in place now for decades. And we have states like Nebraska and Mississippi that the federal government says have some of the lowest levels of marijuana use of any state in the country, yet they have these liberal marijuana laws. You know, speaking of Ohio, the decriminalization policy stay on simple possession. Adult cultivation for personal use is included within the statute as well. You know, here again, we have a very, you know, liberal policy regarding adult marijuana possession relative to the surrounding states, but we've seen no evidence that there has been any increase in use or change in attitudes associated with that policy. And when you look at the worldwide data, whether you're looking at Australia or the Netherlands or Portugal or any of these other regions and nations that we talk about in this paper, you see the same result over and over again. You know, it's ironic if you take the government's latest report on state marijuana use at face value. The state with the most per capita, the highest use of marijuana is Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And Rhode Island has arguably some of the most stringent laws prohibiting the use of marijuana.
Yeah, we see it all throughout the United States, comparing, you know, states that are right next to each other. Like if you compare Ohio to Indiana, you know, Indiana's got really strict drug laws, and yet Ohio, or marijuana laws, and Ohio doesn't, and yet, you know, they're very similar as far as attitudes and use of marijuana goes. And the contrapositive proving the rule here, Florida, the state of Florida has marijuana laws that are stricter than the federal government's laws, yet we don't see much difference in Florida use as compared to other more liberal states. What I would like to ask you, though, Paul, on this is, with regard to this report, is it that the politicians don't know the effects of decriminalization, or they do and they want to bury it and they want to ignore it?
I think in large part the politicians don't know. You know, it's astounding how often when we're talking about marijuana policy reform, people seem to live in a bubble. When you're talking about federal law, it's as if there has never been a country outside of the United States that has experimented with different marijuana policies. Because it's never discussed as if countries, even like Canada, which has legalized the medical use of marijuana, or most of Western Europe that is decriminalized and in some cases regulated the possession and use of marijuana. Those real-world effects are never discussed. It's never brought into the equation that Spain and Italy basically decriminalized commercial production of marijuana decades ago and haven't had an increase in marijuana use, or that their rates of marijuana use are far lower than they are in the United States. That never enters into the conversation. And I really do believe a lot of federal politicians really are unaware of that. And by the same token, when you have these discussions about decriminalization in states, once again, I think lawmakers live in a bubble, and I think they have no idea that surrounding states have had or changed their policies. I really do believe there's a false impression in this country that lawmakers think because there are federal drug laws that all of the states have laws on the books just that simply mimic the federal standard, when in fact we have 50 states with 50 very different drug laws and many, many different versions of marijuana policy in these states, ranging all the way from a state like Alaska that says personal use and cultivation of marijuana by adults is no penalty, it's not an offense at all, versus states like Ohio that say possession and cultivation for adult use is a minor misdemeanor punishable by a fine, or you have states like Maine that say this isn't going to be a criminal offense at all, but it's going to be a civil infraction, so a person might pay a citation, but they don't have to go in the court. Or you have a state like Florida or Arizona that says possession of any amount is a criminal offense, or we're going to throw you in jail for it.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned some of the other foreign countries, Portugal, Spain, Italy, and we've done stories on the Latin American countries and the leaders who have called for marijuana decriminalization, and we hear the word decriminalization a lot. Is there a case, is there a place in the world where there's full-on legalization that we can look at, something that we Americans would recognize as a commercial market and availability of cannabis in a legalized market? Is there something like that we can point to in the world?
You know, it's interesting. I talk about in this report, India had a legalization model right up until the mid-80s. Even a less restrictive model than the model you see in the Netherlands. Yeah, it was very seldom talked about, but there are reports on, and there is good data indicating that the use of marijuana in the general population was always relatively low in India, despite the fact that they essentially regulated it like a legal substance. Of course, you have the Netherlands model where they have the coffee shop model of distribution that's been in place at the local level. for many years now. But one could argue that isn't full-on legalization because commercial production is still technically a criminal violation under federal law in that country. So we don't have that many examples that people would recognize of the legalization of marijuana in a manner similar to alcohol, but I would argue that we do have several real-world examples of regulating marijuana in a strict regulatory fashion that's similar to, say, prescription drugs. Certainly, for instance, in Canada, marijuana is available as a medicine, and it's produced commercially, and it's distributed. In Israel, we have the same sort of policy. The federal government in Israel contracts with growers to grow marijuana, and that marijuana is provided by the government to qualified patients, and patients use the marijuana in settings, like in hospitals. So you have a regulated legal market. Now, it's not necessarily the type of regulation that would apply to personal use, but in many ways, it's not much different than the way, say, OxyContin is regulated in this country. And, you know, there again, despite these long-term experiences in Israel, in the Netherlands is a similar policy regarding medical marijuana, in Canada, you know, there again, we don't see any indication that when the government gets into contracting with commercial growers and providing marijuana to people, we don't see a general spike in the broader use of marijuana. We don't seem to see diversion into the black market.
It's good stuff, and I encourage everyone to check out the entire document. It's up at normal.org, the real world. Is it ramifications or impact?
Ramifications.
Real world ramifications of marijuana legalization. Check it out. Paul Armentano is Normal's deputy director, joining us from the Bay Area. When we come back, Gene Ota from Hawaii.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
The Emerald Sun will rise on St. Paddy's Day, March 17, 2010. Emerald Sun is opening up our design studio at 9423 North Division in Spokane. We're at the Y. Visit us at www.emerald-sun.com for details on our specialty threads and designs with the cannabis culture in mind.
Normal stands for Reforming America's Prohibitionist Marijuana Laws, and that cannot happen without directly engaging our government and elected officials. Local Normal chapters and other affiliated activists relentlessly lobby our lawmakers for change we can believe in and report on their strategies and progress in this segment we call Our Government at Work.
All right, we're dialing all the way across the Pacific Ocean for this next interview. Gene Ota from the Drug Policy Forum of Hawaii is with us. Gene, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, Gene, could you real quick give folks your website address if they want to get more information after the interview?
Sure. It's www.dpfhi.com.
www.mrs.org.
All right. Now, we're calling to talk about what's happening in the legislature there in Hawaii. Of course, folks may know that Hawaii is a medical marijuana state, but also has a governor in Linda Lingle who's quite anti-marijuana. So it's always quite a battle whenever we try to get reforms passed on the islands. Lately, we've been following a decriminalization bill there in Hawaii. I was wondering if you could tell people about that and also address people were asking about the whole doesn't take effect till 2050 part. Could you talk about that decrim for us?
Right. So the decrim bill has already passed the Senate and is moving to the House. So it has to go through one committee in the House, that's Judiciary, and then be voted on by the entire House. The 2050 is just a technical issue. They do that when they want bills to move, but they're unsure, you know, about details of the bill. So what they're saying is this is called defecting the date.
Okay.
And what it is just an effort to move the bill forward without killing it.
Now, I understood the support for this decrim bill in the Senate was pretty large, right?
It was very large, yes.
And is it possible that they've got the votes necessary to override a Lingle veto, should that happen?
We're not sure about the House. Traditionally, the House has been a bit more conservative than the Senate. We've been able to move even our medical marijuana bills through the Senate fairly easily over the last few years. A little bit more difficult in the House, although, you know, some bills have passed and then gone on and been vetoed by the governor.
Okay. What are some of the details of this decriminalization bill as far as limits that people could have for possession or even cultivation?
So, no, it's personal possession of 1 ounce or less.
Okay.
Doesn't address cultivation.
Okay.
But the last committee, originally the bill was written so that the civil fine would be at the maximum $100. The last committee changed that to $300 for the first offense, $500 for the second offense.
Okay. Now,
I'm not happy with that change.
Right. I can understand why. How do things look as far as going over to the legislature side of this? You know, passed the Senate pretty well, but do you anticipate it making it through the committees there on the other side?
Well, I think it will get heard in committee. If we have enough public support through the House hearing, I think it has a very good chance. I'm not positive,
okay,
but I'm very hopeful.
All right. Well, folks, I want you to check out dpfhi.org so you can get more information on this and help our friends out there in Hawaii get this passed. There are two other bills I wanted to get your brief interpretation of having to do with medical marijuana, one for a dispensary measure and another one to increase the limits. Can you give us the details on those?
So, yes, the one for the dispensaries allow the counties, we have three counties, to set up regulations and to establish compassion centers for or dispensaries. So actually, this is the first of its kind that has ever been passed.
Okay.
Through even one body of officer. So, you know, things are looking good. Now, this bill does have a 2012 effective date, and that's so that the counties have time to set up so that there can be more discussion about regulations that counties may want to establish and,
okay,
other kinds of technical issues.
And the bill for the limits?
Excuse me?
You had another bill for limit increases, I understood?
Right. The other bill, Senate Bill 2141, makes several changes in the current medical marijuana program. And it does increase caregivers and it increases the number of plants.
Oh, okay. And of course, you guys all have a really difficult time there on the islands trying to get the medicine to the people because of the fact that you're islands and you don't have roads people can drive from one island to the other. They have to take a plane or a boat, and that starts to get you involved with federal rules. Am I right on that?
Exactly. And how patients have been treated as they were traveling with their medicine varies. You know, it depends on who's on duty. If the TSA calls a local sheriff or calls a local police department. So patients have had their medicine confiscated. Some have been arrested.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, Gene Oda from the Drug Policy Forum of Hawaii. Check him out at dpfhi.org. And thanks for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll be back in touch with Gene later on this year to track the development of those bills. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll talk to Cliff Duvall from Normal of Waco, Inc., with some developments there in Waco, Texas, and more coming all this week at 1 p.m. Pacific. Russ Belville, your host for Normal Show Live. We're here every weekday, 1 p.m. Pacific. Follow me on Twitter, at Radical Russ. Check out our blog, stash.normal.org. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you die.